I do want to mention that if anybody needs Putonghua Mandarin translation, we do have it available. So, we're good to go. Okay. Well, here at the first of the year, it's hard to believe it's the first Sunday in 2020. Seems like it's a second for me. I don't know why. But we are reviewing. We're usually going through. So we just finished the book of John, and then we'll be going through some other books of the Bible. I do appreciate your prayers. Recently, I've really been trying to figure out, okay, where do we need to go in 2020? So in 2020, I'll be preaching through the book of Psalms, and not the whole book, but some of it, and then we'll look at Acts, and then later on in the year, the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be digging into the Bible this year, both personally and corporately. But right here at the first of the year, just really want to try to give us some encouragement in some of the things that we are really about, and that is our church vision. We want to be beholding God this year. We want to belong to the body in a deep way, one another, and then also be sent. So it's good to pause, I think, at the first of the year and take stock of things and lay some tracks down for the new year. So last week we focused on being a beaver for the Bible. What is it we really need to be reading the Bible and chewing on the Bible, munching it, feeding on God's Word? And I'm so proud of so many of you have joined in to try to read the Bible this year. Many of you are reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, and many of you are reading the New Testament, and that's great. The only thing I want to add is that it's never too late to start. So don't think, oh, it's the 5th of January, I already missed it. No, no, you can start today. You don't have to think that way. So actually, up here we have some leftover forms, the 5 minutes a day Bible reading plan, as well as the discipleship journal, reading through the whole Bible. So if you've already haven't started yet, it's not too late to start. Okay, it'll be the best thing that you've done this year. And I promise you, at the end of the year, you'll really feel pretty good going, I read through the whole Bible this year. You know? But it's not just about being able to say it or please don't post it on the internet or anything, but just it's for your own heart. Well, today, we focused last week on beholding God, being a beaver for the Bible, and really our focus was individually, as an individual, really going deep with God this year and reading the Bible, seeing and savoring Christ. But today we really want to focus on beholding God together. So really going to bridge today between the beholding God and belonging. Next week we're going to talk more about belonging to the body. But today's really going to be a bridge between those two, beholding God together, okay, not just as an individual. Let's pray and ask God for His help. God, we surely need Your help, because apart from You, we can do nothing. So I pray today that You will give me the words and the tone of voice and the countenance that I need to communicate Your Word in a way that benefits our body. I pray, Lord, that specifically I pray that You would help me to be encouraging today. So encourage us to behold You together. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm reading this year through the Robert Murray McShane Yearly Bible Plan, and really, let me just say personally, I'm really amazed at how little of time it takes. Literally, it takes like 17 minutes, and I'm not a fast reader, like 17 minutes in the morning to read the four chapters, Genesis, Ezra, Acts, and Matthew. It's like 17 minutes. So it's really not very long. So the Bible plan that I'm reading was designed by Robert Murray McShane. Robert Murray McShane was a Scottish preacher back in the early 1800s. He also, by the way, developed a monthly Bible reading plan where you read the whole Bible in a month. Anybody want to jump on that? He only lived to be 29 years old. He died at 29 years old, but his life seemed to impact so many people. And I think it's because individually, he really beheld God regularly and deeply. But what I've discovered as I've read a little bit about him is that it wasn't just his personal devotional life that contributed to his beholding God, but it was actually his beholding God together with some other guys in his life that really made a difference in him. So he had two friends in his short 29 years, and they really did what I call one-anothering one another. They practiced all those one-another passages together, but specifically their names were Andrew Bonner and Alexander Somerville and Robert Murray McShane. They used to read the Bible together, these three guys, and they prayed together, and they would sing together. And listen to how he described their relationship. I quote, "Sometimes I think that we three at that time were like the three disciples you read of, Peter, James, and John, before the day of Pentecost. Christ took these three, Peter, James, and John, into the chamber of Jairus' daughter, and he taught them how to raise dead souls. He taught us from the very first to put no stress upon human appliances, but to keep to the gospel word. He took us to the Transfiguration Hill, and he showed us his person from time to time. He taught us to delight in his person and to behold in a glass the glory of the Lord and be changed into the same image. He took us to Gethsemane at communion times, and he showed us the cup that the Father gave him to drink, in which he drank, leaving no dregs behind." End quote. I don't know if you feel that way about some of the relationships that you have with other believers, but I definitely want that kind of relationships in my own life, and I also want that for each of you. My task is simple today. I want to encourage us to behold God together, to have people in our lives, other people, that we can grow in maturity with. Or I could say it like this. I want us to see our need today to grow in spiritual maturity through one another. Through one another. So today I want to encourage us with three passages, and actually they will be three one-another passages. So in the Bible there are about 40, a little over 40 one-another passages, where it says do these things for one another, and today we're going to look at three of them. So some of them are love one another. You ever heard of that one? Mentioned many times. Love one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. Submit to one another. Endure one another. Teach and admonish one another, we'll look at today, as well as exhort one another and stir up one another. We need to behold God together. Let's begin by looking at Colossians chapter 3. We mentioned this passage last week. Colossians 3, 12 through 16. It's in your bulletin, I believe, as well as on the screen. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you guys, richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So first, I want us to see that if we're going to behold God together, we need to do what Corinthians 3 says, which is teach and admonish one another. Now, I'm putting those together because Paul put them together there. Teach and admonish one another. We mentioned this just briefly last week. If we want the Word of God to dwell in us, by the way, the you there, I told you last week, is plural. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Okay, that's neman, that's y'all, you guys. All right? It's not you singular. It has to happen to us singularly, though. You realize if it doesn't dwell in us singularly as individuals, it won't dwell in the body. Nobody knows the Word. But we want to shift to the plural. We are to teach and admonish one another. He mentions several one another's in that passage. It's a team effort, beholding God. Let me say it like this. The pathway to beholding God runs through the body of Christ. The pathway to beholding God runs through the people in this room. We won't know God like we ought if we don't know God with others. So let me break this down a little bit, these two elements, teaching one another and admonishing one another. The teaching is quite simple. It means instruction. Instruction. Christians are to be in relationships and environments where they are giving and receiving the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, talking to each other about the Word of God, growing together, instructing one another. Notice it didn't say just a guy teaching you, but it says teaching and admonishing one another. So whether you feel like you have the gift of teaching or not, you still have the responsibility to be involved in reciprocal teaching of the Word of God, right? Giving your input, and this is what I think the Word of God says as I read it, and receiving as well. Teaching one another. Number two, admonishing one another. This is a word that we don't use a lot, and usually we think of it as a negative. Admonishing people, like I'm drilling people, you know, or I'm really giving it to somebody when they need it. That's not what it means. Admonishing means to warn somebody gently. To warn somebody gently. I'll give you an example of how it's used in the New Testament, Acts 20:31. It's not on your screen, okay? Acts 20:31, Paul was speaking to the church in Ephesus, and here's what he said. For 3 years, I did not cease, night and day, to admonish everyone with tears. That's the kind of admonishing it means. For 3 years, he said he admonished them with tears. That's the kind of urging and loving people to where you love them so much that you aren't afraid to go to them and say, I just really want to encourage you in this. You know. Interestingly enough, this passage, teaching one another, admonishing one another, finishes with singing. Singing to one another. That's why we just sang a bunch of songs. That's why we do that in church. Because we are to sing to one another. And I must admit that when I was reading over this week, I feel like we need more singing. We need to sing more. And I don't just mean in this room, like sing one more song. But I mean be in an environment where in our lives we're singing together more. And I have a plan for that. I'll tell you about maybe later. No, I'll tell you a little bit about right now. It's why we need more home groups instead of Bible studies. It's why we need not just places where we're doing Bible studies, but we need actual home groups. Because you may be able to do a Bible study in Starbucks or something like that, and that's wonderful. But, you know, that environment's not too conducive to be singing out loud together. We need to be in the home where we're singing together, and if somebody doesn't play an instrument, then you just hit play or sing a cappella or whatever. So we are to be singing together, making melody in our hearts, hymns, psalms, spiritual songs. This passage in Colossians is very similar to Ephesians chapter 5, 19, starting in verse 15. Except in Ephesians, he says, be filled with the Spirit instead of let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Now, if you know your Bible well, you know you have to have both of those things. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be a beaver for the Bible. Well, that's how you be filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be drunk with the Spirit, literally, be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, pause, that means keep on continually being filled with the Spirit there. It's not a one-time event. It's present tense in Greek, which means there's no end point. Just keep on being filled with the Spirit. Okay, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, teaching one another, admonishing one another, and that includes singing to one another. Did you know that part of what we really want to do is we're actually choosing songs on Sunday to try to teach you? We want to teach you about the Lord. We're not just picking some songs randomly. Janice, myself, Abdil, we're actually thinking through which songs can we sing that will teach you about the Lord. Questions to ask yourself. So am I in any of these relationships? Am I in any relationships or any environments where I can be taught? Am I in any relationships where other people, a small group or a life transformation group, an accountability group, are there any relationships like this in my life where I'm actually being taught the Word of God besides this? And do I have any relationships in my life where people are close enough that they can warn me or admonish me gently? So on the back of your bulletin today, you should have a bulletin. On the back of the bulletin is a list of small groups. A list of small groups right there. Join a small group. Join a Bible study or start one. There's not one the time that works for you. Talk to me. Would love for you to start one. Okay. So we are commanded to teach and admonish one another because the pathway to beholding God runs through the body of Christ. Number two, exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. We're not only to behold God together by teaching and admonishing one another, but we are to exhort one another. Exhort one another. And that's not a word we use every day. Okay, we don't go around talking like, yeah, I just want to really exhort you. Right? So what does it mean? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13 says this, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This passage starts out with a warning saying, beware, or blepete, literally means take care or be warned. This whole passage, if you know Hebrews chapter 3, is on the children of Israel's heart being hardened. And this whole passage is warning against falling away from God or slipping away or hardening your heart or turning away from God. Guess what the fix is? Guess what the fix is in Hebrews chapter 3 for just sliding away from the Lord? Exhorting one another. Did you notice? Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another so that you are not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhortation. This word literally means to call someone to your side. It literally means to call someone near to you. It's used to urge or comfort, sometimes to beg or appeal. I couldn't help but try to think back over my life while I was reading these verses and think back of how many times had the Lord rescued me in my life through a brother or sister who called me to their side? How many times has the Lord in your life rescued you from making a grave mistake or bringing you back on the trail through a brother or sister who exhorted you, a brother or sister who called you near to them and said, hey, let's pray together. Let's talk about this. Or can I share a verse with you? Or how are you doing? Oh, how God has blessed all of us through the body of Christ. You just think back about all of the people that have been involved in your life. Where would we be without them? If you and I didn't have people in our lives that were encouraging us and urging us to walk in holiness, calling us near to them, exhorting us and saying, keep the faith, where would we be? Where would we be? I know I would be. Probably like the book of Jude says, where he literally says, snatch some from the fire. I'm thankful for people in my life who, when I did not want to go to church, I didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord, they kept coming to my house and visiting me and saying, come on, keep coming. Who do you need to call near to you? Who needs to be near to you? Who do you need to be exhorting? Or let's flip it around. Who is it that you need to get close to? That you need to call along to your side that you might say, I really feel like I need to encourage that person and exhort them. Exhortation is a safeguard against sin and unbelief. The pathway to beholding God runs through the body of Christ. And exhortation is a safeguard against sin and unbelief. Oh, how we need each other. Our beholding needs belonging. We are to teach each other, admonish one another, and exhort one another. And we are, number three, to stir up one another. To stir up one another. Now, that doesn't mean stir up in the way maybe we think. Not stir up trouble amongst one another, but to stir up one another. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Stir up one another. What does it mean? This word literally means to irritate. You say, well, I got a lot of people in this church that are sharp and that are irritating me. Not that way. It's a positive. Doesn't mean irritating people negatively, but it means sharpening. Sharpening one another. Some of the old, I think the old King James translation said, spur on one another. You remember that? Like a person with a riding a horse with a spur on their boot, kicking the horse, making it go. To spur on one another, or to agitate, literally is what it means. To irritate one another. In a positive sense. I don't know if you have those kind of relationships or not, but those kind of relationships where, man, this person can say these hard things to me. I don't like it sometimes, but maybe you have this relationship with people that is so deep and you know them so well that they can sharpen you, and you're so glad that you have that relationship, even though sometimes it's not always comfortable. To stir on one another, stir up one another to love and good works. Perseverance, because this is what this verse is about, says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That means we are to keep on through the stirring up of one another. As the day drawing near. By the way, the day there does not mean Sunday. Sometimes people preach that like, oh yeah, don't neglect to go to church as you see the day drawing near. And no, it's capital. It means the day of the Lord, the return of Christ. We are to teach one another. We are to admonish one another. We are to exhort one another and to stir up one another. Perseverance is empowered by the prodding of others. Perseverance is empowered by the prodding or through the prodding of others. You have people in your life who can prod you on to love and good works and to faith? Or maybe we should say it like this. Standing firm happens through sharpening. Standing firm happens through sharpening of other believers. You may say, yeah, that's my husband or wife. Well, thank God that He has given us in marriage as well, that such a deep relationship that we can sharpen one another, even if we might sometimes irritate one another the wrong way. We can irritate each other positively as well. Let me give you some application as we wind down here. My goal today is to encourage all of us, not just you, but also myself in 2020, to be more involved in the lives of one another so that we can teach one another and admonish one another and exhort one another and stir up one another to love and good works. But some of us have barriers, though, that need to come down. Some of us have barriers that need to come down. For some people in this room, the barrier to belonging and beholding God together with others, for some people, it's receiving. You won't receive from other people because of some reasons. And maybe for some of us, it's giving. I don't want to give to people. I don't want to give so that other people can come to know Christ more. Or I don't want to receive. And I don't know why, what the reasons are. God knows. And maybe it's because of deep pain. Something that you've done or something that other people have done to you. And so it makes us build walls. We relationally build walls up to not receive or give to other people. We all do it in some ways, right? Listen, let me make sure we all understand this. We all have pretty messed up lives, right? It's interesting when people say, I've come from a dysfunctional family. Did any of us not come from a dysfunctional family? All of our families were dysfunctional. We're all dysfunctional in some way. None of us are perfect. We all have issues. We've all been hurt. But praise God, through Christ, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And so we can press on through it. But we're really never going to grow if we don't open up and let people love us and get people near to us or get near to people so that we can one another, and behold God together. Listen, you're only going to go so far on your own. In order to get over the wall, it involves other people. I know myself, it's not in my notes, John, but I know myself, there were many things that I tried to get over on my own, just couldn't do it. I had to have other men in my life or I would have never gotten over it. But praise be to God that we have the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. We forget what is behind and press on to what's ahead. Real beholding and real victory runs through the body. Real victory and real beholding of God runs through the body of Christ. So we need to go deeper together and behold God together. So what is it that keeps you on the fringe? Some of you are on the fringe. Some of you, I don't know why, but some of you in this room, you keep yourselves on the fringe. For some reason, you won't get on the dance floor. It prevents you from beholding God with others and prevents you from going deep with God. And I don't know what it is. We all have our issues. We all have struggles. And so I would just encourage you to pray and get others to pray with you, and let's grow closer to God together. Maybe it's time, maybe it's busyness, maybe it's pride, I don't know. But let's work through it together as a body, and let's go deeper with God together. Because when God saved us, He put us in a family. And we don't live life unto ourselves. We read our Bibles, but we don't just read our Bible on our own. Our relationship with God involves other people. So let me close with a summary. I want to encourage you and exhort you in this to ask the Lord how you need to go deeper in your giving and receiving to the body and being involved in the lives of others so that you can behold God together with others. Teaching one another, admonishing one another, exhorting one another, and stirring up one another as well. Because the pathway to beholding God runs through the body of Christ. Let's pray together. God, I confess to you that this pastor also needs the body, that I am not immune, even though most of my time and effort is giving, that I also need receiving. I thank you, God, that you've given us this church and you've given us one another, because the church really is the people in the room. So God, I pray that you would encourage our hearts. I pray that if in any way today I've not been encouraging, that you would transform my words to be edifying. I pray that you would encourage our hearts this year to love one another in this room more than we've ever loved each other before. And that we might sing together more. We might praise you together. We might be on mission together more. We might be in each other's kitchens more. in each other's living rooms and homes, so that we might know Christ more through one another. It's in His name we pray. Amen.